Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're going to be breaking down all the latest happenings this weekend at the box office. Somebody saw Daddy's Home 2. Oh, boy, and that was me. All right, let's talk about it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, look at that. Welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Of course, this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we like to do a little something we call... Beautiful harmonies,
guys. We'll practice. We got time.
We really should all come to rehearsal. We should all come to rehearsal, guys. Can we make sure we get the memo on that?
Yeah, Frank was here. We weren't here. We let you down, Frank.
That's okay. That's all right.
It's okay. I thought this was going to be like a longer, drawn-out one, so that's why I was like, no. Okay.
Carrie, I thought the same thing, too.
Right? We were ready for like the prom.
Nah. I came in with a nah.
Yeah,
we
were ready.
It's all good.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's okay.
About the box office that lay ahead. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And we are live in the chat. So if you're watching this live, feel free to chat with us. And if you're watching it later, you can still comment down below.
What's going on? It's your boy, The Neil Plumley. You can find me at places where people are found at The Neil Plumley. That's T-H-E-N-E-I-L-P-L-U-M-L-E-Y. How's Daddy's Home, Frank?
Teresa Stewart's wondering, no Neil? Question mark?
I know. I saw that. I was like, he's right here. Right here.
I don't know. Teresa will see if we can get him.
She'll be back.
If we can get Neil here, we will try our best.
Yeah.
there you go.
We'll try.
And as always, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, throw multiple thumbs on there while you're watching it there. And as Karis mentioned, the chat is up and running. So feel free to chime in about anything you've been seeing at the movies lately or anything we're going to be talking about as well. Yes, Amy Cassandra, our beloved fourth member of this panel, currently at an enchantment under the sea dance.
Aww.
Well, isn't that precious?
It certainly is. Look at that. So we'll just jump into the top five. Thor Ragnarok, again, leading number one there. $56.6 million. Of course, we talked about it a lot last week. Mm-hmm. Carrie, you were not here. You were out gallivanting around.
I was.
What did you think of the film?
I thought it was very fun. It's been a while, and I feel sad. I'm like, oh, man, I'm so jaded. It's been a while since I've seen a movie where I was like, wow, that was amazing. And then, like, so excited after the way I see other people are. And then I'm just like, did I miss something? But I thought it was very fun. I thought it was very entertaining. Lots of cool cameos of people, even ones that were like, I don't want to spoil it for people, but there's certain actors that you're like, it's a teeny part, but it's hilarious to see them. You're like, hey. Action was really cool. Love the oversaturated colors and look to it. And it was just, again, very fun, good time.
Now, Neil, before we started the show, said that he went back and watched Avengers, the very first Joss Whedon joint in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And what were your thoughts comparing it to Thor Ragnarok?
The Avengers is so much better. Just interesting. Remarkably better. And I sort of like forgot how much better it was. Mm-hmm. But after watching, after having Thor Ragnarok still pretty fresh in my head, went back and watched The Avengers. I realized that not only, I mean, this, you guys hear me harping about it all the time. Not only does it use the musical theme correctly and in the correct moments and in ways that get you hyped about the action that's about to take place, where, and that's not just Thor Ragnarok's problem, that's a lot, that's most Marvel movies' problems. But it's cohesive and you move through the movie like with an idea of what's happening. You have a proper scope of what's going on. And you have a proper emotional grasp on these characters, and they play that emotion like a fiddle throughout the movie. The climaxing, obviously, at the end of the second act with Phil Coulson, and it's those moments that really, to me, set it apart from Thor Ragnarok and sort of like hold Thor to like a higher standard.
So do you think people have forgotten how good Avengers is? Because I've heard so many people, like, blown away by Thor. They're so excited by the new Thor, and, like, it's everything they wanted and more and everything. So then it's like, did you guys forget how good the other... Do you think that's it, or it's just a different kind of fun?
Maybe. I mean, this is just me that I'm talking about. Right.
But I think you're the everyman. You speak for us all.
I have an educational background in
Avengers
film theory and stuff like that. So that's where I get some of my tighter grasps on some of the broader concepts from. But people like color and they love comedy. So Thor Ragnarok is an easy swing for Marvel, and I think that's the trouble that Marvel's in right now, because they saw Guardians. Guardians blew everyone out of the water. Mm-hmm. They didn't think that it would, because it's a brand new IP on a comic that barely anybody read comparatively to the other comics. But it swung it out of the park because it was very colorful and it's very funny. But Guardians of the Galaxy had a lot of heart in it, and so did the second one. The second one didn't have quite as much heart as the first one did, but it had the part with Yondu. That was very poignant, and it was very well developed in the movie, and you felt for it because they built off something from the one before.
It was pretty. I felt like it was pretty much his movie too,
right?
Like, not the Guardians, it was Yondu's.
Yondu of the Galaxy.
Well,
we do have a couple people agreeing in the chat that they enjoyed Thor, but it's not like didn't blow them away. So, all right, there's some of you out there who agree if it was cool. We're seeing, right? You enjoyed it?
No, I mean, I am happy because I enjoyed it more than the other two Thor films. It still doesn't hit quite as hard as I'd like it to, just for me personally. But what I do respect, though, at least, is that it's very much Taika Waititi's vision on screen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether it's not as great as I would hope it would be, at least I like the fact that they're letting the more individualism seep into their films from the different directors. And that gets me super excited for Black Panther.
Yes.
Me as well. But did we? I can't remember if we talked about it last week or not. That Taika went off script quite a bit. Did we talk about that on the show last week?
A little bit, I think.
Well, refresh, because I wasn't here.
Well, in an interview with Chris Hemsworth, they said that he said that they'll go and they'll shoot the scene as scripted, and then they'll do mostly wild takes, which for you in the audience that don't know, are just takes where people just sort of ad lib.
Yeah.
They take the scene as they just shot it. And they add a little bit to it. Mm-hmm. And then they'll take that and they'll add a little bit to that. And if they keep going with that, it can be healthy. But if they keep going with it, they get way off track and they sort of miss the point of the scene.
Okay.
And that is the feeling that I got from Thor Ragnarok. The scenes were funny, but they didn't have an intended meaning. Every scene is supposed to do something to the story. And a lot of scenes didn't. They sort of were just funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was my biggest problem. Like, when I'm able to, like, think about it and, like, tear it down in my head over this past couple weeks, I think that contributed to the problems that I had with the movie, is that the scenes sort of felt like they were just given to you.
Okay. No, it's good that you can explain it. It's like when people are like, I didn't like the movie. I'm like, why? Because it was dumb. Well, no. Like,
well, yeah.
But, you know, you could break it down better, and, like, that's a better example of, like, it's funny, but it's like,
And it's funny because also in the interview, you sort of get he never said this on camera really, but you sort of get the feeling that Chris Hemsworth didn't like the fact that they took so many wild takes. He actually mentioned the fact that, like, they would go back to the script, and he said, this is actually a quote from the interview, he said they would go back to the script, which was better, but then they would, you know, go off and do some wild things. So I actually really want to read the script. I've been looking, not seriously, but casually sort of looking online to see if I can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do, I'm gonna read the crap out of it to see like what was different, and if that was the problem, or if it's something else that I need to figure out that I didn't like about the movie.
Well, if it does, like as we talked last week, some of the things that I had issue with were the Banner stuff at the end. I felt like just never really hit as hard as you wanted
exactly.
it to. Things that were kind of set up in the middle that never really paid off at the end. Like if in the written script, it actually hits a little bit closer.
Had more.
To home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So please. Read the crap out of it.
I'll let you know for sure. I'll keep everyone in tune.
Do we like Hela as a new villain? A lot of people are saying, well, that's been a great villain, though. But then someone pointed out that Keaton from Spider-Man Homecoming was a really good villain.
He was better.
Spider-Man Homecoming is a film that's been sticking with me for a while. I really have enjoyed that. So,
yeah.
Just because I think maybe Spider-Man's one of my top two favorites, so it's to see him really brought to screen in a really well-structured film. It's like, I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but to go back to Avengers for 1 second, Neil.
Yeah.
Like, still going back, as much as that film might be better, you have to admit Captain America's costume in that first film is a rough first attempt.
Well, yeah.
At what it would later grow into.
Yeah. But that I think that's important. I think it's important that
is
campy.
Is kind of the point, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the point. Because the first Avenger, in Captain America, the first Avenger, that was quite bad, his suit. That, I remember that being panned by a lot of comic book fans. Like, why is he wearing that? That looks silly. Because it's like that, like, almost skin-tight mask that he had over his eyes.
Right.
But he has like a sidearm and a shield, and he has, like, a brown leather jacket. And people are like, what is going on? Well, but that's sort of the style of the time and how it sort of evolved. So I think his costume in the first Avengers, while it was pretty campy, played to the fact that it was a very infantile system, the Avengers. They didn't have, like, anything properly worked out. And this wasn't Captain America making his own suit. This was S.H.I.E.L.D. knowing his measurements and just making something for him, and then they, like, put him in. And he's like, well, it's armored, and it is patriotic, and you made a good point that maybe some, you know, star-spangled stuff is what we need right now, which is a good point, so I guess I'll wear it. But then, as we see in Winter Soldier, he has a completely different costume, and it is so perfect for his modern take on Captain America.
No, I feel like that's probably been my favorite evolution of all the Marvel films, is seeing Captain America's costume throughout there.
I don't even remember it changing, so I'm like, sure. No. It didn't bother me. I was like,
It was like a bright, almost pastel blue, almost like the shading in Frank's shirt right there in the Marvel comics.
I feel like I've seen older pictures of it, and it is that, like, bright baby blue.
Well, I mean, like, in the Winter Soldier, though, it's more of like a muted, like a grayish blue.
I mean, it's fine for it like to change, too.
Like
a tactical
blue. Yeah, because like, he just has a star. Kind of like when he was like the Steve Rogers super soldier. So it was just kind of a star with some kind of like, you know, like ordainment around it.
Yeah.
Without the red, white, and blue on there, I thought that was kind of a nice.
And it's much more of like a body armor in Winter Soldier.
I do remember that.
In the first one, I missed it. I mean, it skipped my memory, but when I rewatched The Avengers, I realized he got hit by a Chitauri bolt when he was fighting. And it actually pierced his costume and, like, broke skin and had a little bit of blood on it. And he was, like, wincing a bit. I mean, he's a tough guy. Didn't bring him down. But, like, in Winter Soldier, we see that he's wearing, like, body armor. And that's something that looks like a conscious choice that they made, like, with a movie not around. Sort of, like, in between the chapters. Like, we need to make something that's more durable because I got hurt last time.
True. But I would say, though.
Sorry. I was actually, quick costume thing that I noticed that somebody pointed out on Twitter. And I haven't, I'm not super excited for Justice League, but I want to see it. But someone posted a photo of the Amazons and Wonder Woman and their outfits look like.
Neil, was just showing me that photo.
We just spoke about it before the show started.
Okay,
yeah.
And yeah, they you guys can find this online. And the Amazons in Justice League, and they're like, you know what would make these costumes better? Midriffs. You're like, no.
No metal, no. Maybe. All leather, bikini tops.
It's just dumb. It's just disappointing. If like, especially if like the Wonder Woman's already been out. It's been successful. Why would you change it? Like, you know, because it's the same characters, essentially. Yeah, like, these are the same people. Yeah. Why? Justice League, I'm disappointed.
That's an issue probably for Zack Snyder.
What if, and just hear me out, what if they're just like a different type of battalion of the
No, it's just dumb. Nope. Because you could already argue that Wonder Woman's outfit and the other Amazon's outfits don't cover enough skin as armor, so to make it even less, no. Sorry. That's just
It's true. And since they're like a warrior, I don't want to say tribe, but civilization, since they're a warrior civilization, they wouldn't just have, like, even if you want to excuse the midriff, they wouldn't be made out of primarily leather.
It'd be armor.
It'd be metal armor.
Yeah, they have leather swords. They can make metal. Yeah.
But these are just, they look like leather bikini tops. And it's just like, a simple arrow would pierce that.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so like.
By God, Frank, an arrow.
Like, at least with Jumanji, the new one coming out, which I am excited for that one, seeing the trailer. They explain her outfit like, okay, it's a video game avatar that makes no sense. Like, it's not supposed to be functional. It is just, like, an objectified body. Then you go, I can forgive it more than before when we didn't know that that was the plot.
Yeah.
But, like, Justice League, you're like, no. You had an example, a successful example. Why did you...
Things I'm sure that will be talked about more.
Oh, someone goes, I wanted to make them more sexy. Can't sexy be, it doesn't have to be like nearly naked in their outfits. We're already sexy. It's,
getting back to our top five. Number two, Daddy's Home 2 from Paramount Pictures. $30 million straight up. Whew. One of us saw this film and one of us didn't need to.
None of us saw this number coming, I'll tell you that.
Well, I guess I think I did.
It was a subject of our box office. What did you think it was going to be, guys?
I got my numbers here.
All right, I want to hear.
So this box office bet was done by Amy, Neil, and myself. Carrie, got an easy pass being out of town.
I was out of state. It was even more like.
Give us a rundown.
Frank, you won this week. He did. Frank Moran, cheer for him and applause, please. Frank bet $26 million on the 30 that it made. Very good job, Frank.
Thank you, Neil.
Next in line was Amy, the 22.5. That's a decent bet. I was very far off with $17 million. I did not think this movie was going to do very well at all. Turns out that it made just almost double what I thought it was going to make.
It scares me because that means it possibly could be a Daddy's Home 3.
There's definitely going to be a Daddy's
Home 3. Well, it's based on... The first one did pretty well. People thought it was funny. And then you add two other big-name actors to it. Technically three, but only two were mostly featured in the trailer. So I'm not terribly surprised. Also, it's a family movie going into holiday season. Come on. It's like a shoo-in. Yeah. All the holiday movies are going to start coming out like right now. And it's like... Everybody's like, let's go to the family movie.
Medea's Christmas.
Right?
And no offense against John Lithgow, because I do enjoy watching him. But can we really say he's like a big box office draw these days?
Well, he's a recognizable name and face.
He's a big television draw.
Yeah, I would be more, yeah, I could see that.
Season 4 of Dexter was probably the best season
that was existed. By far. Absolutely. That was a really good season.
Yeah.
But this was a, if anybody, I've never seen the first Daddy's Home. I went and saw this because like, just in case I lose, I guess I should go see it.
And man, you won.
After, as I've just told Carrie and Neil, like once I've seen Butu and I know how bad movies can be, I'm never going to be worried about losing a bet. This was just really the definition of a very meh movie.
So you've had your eyes, because of Butu, you've had your eyes open to the horribleness of cinema.
That's right.
Or the capacity of horribleness that cinema can become.
Yeah, you know, for some reason, like Will Ferrell, when he plays, there's that, I don't know if I necessarily feel the same way about like Ben Stiller and the Fokker films.
Mm-hmm.
The somebody that constantly screws up, constantly. Right. And is constantly getting tripping or causing all these accident-prone circumstances, mishaps in the film. Oh, man, some of that goes a long way.
Too much.
Yeah. And his character just really is dialed into that, and it's just like... Oh, man, okay. Watching a whole movie about a continual screw-up, who then at the very, very end, you know, does something that, like, you know, like, oh, my gosh, he's not so bad. Look at that. He turned it all around. Ugh.
I can't stand that. I almost walked out of Meet the Fockers because I was getting just way too upset with how Ben Stiller just could not do anything right. Because the plans that he had were decent. Like not all of them, but some of them were like, yeah, I'm going to do this and it's going to win over the favor of this family. And it's like, yeah, okay. The viewer's like, yeah, that'll work. Sure. That's believable. And then some wacky shit would happen and he would end up somewhere and the roof would be on fire and the car would be filled with like shaving cream. And the father would be like, hey, why don't I just fill with shaving cream? And I'd be like,
was the second or third one?
Second one?
I remember the first one was pretty funny. I think Little Fockers
was the third one, yes.
Yeah. I remember one being pretty funny, and two, I was just like, no.
I just couldn't deal with the constant failure that his character had. So I'm probably going to hate Daddy's Home too.
Yeah.
Would you say it's that situation where they do this in comedy a lot lately, where it's, let's put people in awkward situations and we'll laugh at them? Because that's a comedy that I can't stand lately.
I know.
Just like,
I know you hate the uncomfortable situations. Yes.
Well, there's difference in uncomfortable and then just let's do them awkward and then it's funny. And you're like my one that just drove me nuts was like, get him to the Greek. It's constantly uncomfortable situations and like, that's funny. Ha ha. I feel like that's a really low bar to aim for, that they're just like, hey.
Well, my problem with that was like a little of Russell Brand goes a long way with me. And so, like, him being, you know, the lead of a film, you're like, oh, man, this is way too much Russell Brand for me. Absolutely way too much.
Fair enough.
Like, him, like, in Finding Sarah Marshall, or Forgetting Sarah Marshall, that was, like, the perfect amount. He just would come in, be a little accent, and then take off.
Yeah.
But then when they said, like, hey, no, this funny little bit, why don't we make that the whole thing? You're like, no. It's too much. It's definitely way too much. So, Daddy's Home 2, it is a easy pass, guys. Just let it come to you while you're laying in bed and pry your eyes open and then crawl inside and somewhere later next year when it's back on, when it's on cable at your home. Do not worry about going out to see this. 3, Murder on the Orient Express, $28.2 million from Fox. Also another movie I saw. And I still want to...
Have you seen the original?
No, it's on sale on iTunes right now and I want to buy it.
Cool.
And watch it because I'd love to compare and contrast the two. It's... Kenneth Branagh is great in this. I really love seeing him in this, and it's shot beautifully. Cool.
It looks like it's beautiful. I haven't seen it yet, but the trailer, so I'm glad to hear it is.
Yeah, and I did not, I've never read the book, and so I didn't know the plot at all or anything like that. But
that's what I hope. Okay.
Yeah. Had you?
No, but that's something that was curious, and so I'm happy to hear that, because some people are like, if they already know it, it'd be boring, and if you don't know it, like, they would know what's coming. But even if you don't know, then it's like a good adventure for you, because then you didn't know.
And I know that he made a few tweaks for a couple different characters, it's one of those, like, having never read the source material, I read about those after the fact after I watched it, but I still have no context into is that an improvement or just something different, or is it was it a misstep for him? I don't know, but worth it. And that mustache is phenomenal.
Yeah, you gonna try to sport it?
There's no way I could do that. Not a big spoiler, but there is a scene in there where you see him woken up in the night, and he's got like a little like. A little holder, like a little thing, like a it's
that's like, wow, funny.
Just the thing, like he had to, and it's like perfectly shaped. Like he had to go and get that design. Somebody had to say, like, yes, I want you to build this as a specification to holster my mustache whilst I sleep.
Mm-hmm. Go into the future, 3D print me a cage for it that I can put on when I sleep. Send it back through time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's a good movie to check out in the theater.
I'm probably going to try to watch it tomorrow.
I don't think, I'll be curious to hear what you think.
Yeah. That was one where I'm like, oh, you see the trailer, you're like, this looks so fun. That was a great use also of older looking footage, like the style, but then like they used a modern soundtrack. It was really great. That was a good trailer.
And there's a lot of great eye acting by Kenneth Branagh in here too. Ooh, okay. Yes. And he pulls it off very well.
Okay.
Coming in at number four, A Bad Mom's Christmas. Letter, $11.5 million.
Wow.
And rounding out our top five, Jigsaw from Lionsgate, $3.4 million.
Which is fantastic on its 10 budget.
Yeah. Diving into international numbers real quick. After 3 weeks overseas, Thor Ragnarok has chiseled out another $75.9 million at the international box office. That takes the offshore total to $438.5 million and the worldwide tally to $650.1 million. Dollars. That global figure pushes The God of Thunder to number 10 on the worldwide box office chart for 2017, and Disney has roared to fill 4 of the top 10 slots this year. I imagine 5 will be coming in by the end of the year. Isn't that correct, Neil?
Yes.
Would it almost be cheating, though, because they own so many different ones? So I'm like, well, if you own that, it's like it's Monopoly. They own the entire block, so it just increases their odds.
No, I mean, certainly Last Jedi will be on there. I feel like Justice League, I think it's probably going to crack the top 10 this year. I think there's going to be enough people curious about either if it's fantastic or it's bad. They just want to, I think there'll be a lot of curiosity.
You're talking about domestically or worldwide?
I think we're talking about the worldwide.
For sure. I think it might even take the top 5.
Maybe.
Justice League. Because it looks like a movie that's just everyone's going to want to see around the world. It's just a big CG action fest. It's got Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah. Come on, which one? What?
It's got Ben Affleck. You know, it's got the guy from Game of Thrones.
I think a lot of people are just going to go see it because they're like, well, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Like, it's the difference between I'm excited to see it versus, sure. I'll see it because we got my movie pass.
There you go. No, I know I'll be there.
Probably.
The question is, am I there Thursday night or Friday afternoon?
I don't know yet. When I got time.
That's right. Another thing that aided Disney's rise and their total box office domination this year has been Coco from Pixar. Mm-hmm. It's been breaking records in Mexico. It's after 3 weeks, it has grossed $41.4 million to become the number 2 release of all time in the market and the highest grossing animated release ever.
So. I haven't.
I'm so happy.
It fits the bill.
I'm so happy for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm jazzed about it.
Question is, somebody was kind of comparing it to Book of Life and how that didn't really get a whole lot of notoriety, mm-hmm. but it's really good. And they were kind of curious of is it going to be very similar subject matters? But there's not that many films, animated ones about Day of the Dead. Isn't that good to have more?
Yeah, I'd say.
So
yeah.
It's like,
and I mean, certainly, I mean, Guillermo del Toro. Is great, but mm-hmm. I feel like the Pixar brand, I feel like that already draws more attention to it. Yeah. So it's like, that's already gets you some credibility established. Like, yeah, I think this is worth checking out.
Or maybe if you like the one, go check out the other as well. Because I remember liking Book of Life. It's really good.
Who animated Book of Life?
Book of Life was really good. It's so underrated, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just... Okay, some people are saying either or on which is better, but I can't say it because I haven't seen Coco. But true. Book of Life is just very, it's a really beautiful shot, like how they do it. And then the story is really enjoyable as well, like a really nice, like a fable, you know, it's a very interesting mm-hmm. tale.
Yeah, it feels so original too,
mm-hmm.
like just the telling the story about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
like how they did it?
Yep. Yeah.
So if you guys haven't seen Book of Life, go watch that as well while you wait for Coco if it's not out yet for you.
Also, Murder in the Orient Express, it pulled into the Middle Kingdom, grossing $19 million there and $45.8 million overall this week in 57 markets. And it's got $57.2 million overseas after bowing at number one in the UK last week. Meanwhile, Paddington 2, which I've heard the first film is great, and I haven't watched it
yet. That's the Paddington Bear, right?
Yep. It actually debuted in the UK this week and took home $10.9 million. Mm. Yeah, look at that. And Jigsaw, the eighth movie in the Lionsgate horror franchise, has put together $79 million globally to top the worldwide and international lifetimes of Saw 6. Whew. Yes. All right.
We thought
right.
it couldn't be done.
Yeah, we did it, everybody. And Geostorm from Warner Brothers is this close to $200 million worldwide. And the new line Warner Brothers juggernaut, It, has lifted up to with Japan by 27% to help the global box office to $683.4 million.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
fantastic.
So, folks, of course, Daddy's Home 2 was the subject of last week's box office bet, but this is a new week, which means there is a new bet to be made,
yep.
And there are three films in contention.
I saw the trailer for The Star. That's the animals, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that one actually looks really cute. They did it behind the scenes...
It sure does. Look, it sure does, Carrie.
Well, okay, fine. It's if you guys don't know, fine. I'll just talk about it since you don't seem so excited. Okay, so if you guys have no idea about it, The Star is the story of Jesus in the manger, which everybody either A, you don't really care at all, or there's been so many versions. So okay, fine. We'll acknowledge there's a lot of different stories. So this mm-hmm. is the same story but told from the animal's perspective. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of a fun way to do a spin on a story that's been told many times before. And they have some really talented voice actors and well-known people in it that it looks very adorable. And then one of the shots, I kind of was like, wait, are the animals going to be able to talk to the people? Nope. And that is actually kind of comedic. They're like, wait, we have to go do this. And then it cuts to what the people hear, and it's animal sounds. So I was like, okay. Because I wondered, I'm like, which direction are they going to go with it? Wow, you have no excitement on your face right now.
I'm very pumped.
I think it looks really cute.
Yep, super excited. Cute. Super excited. Mm-hmm. We do have Justice League, a small little indie film from Warner Brothers. Hope it can get a shot.
Well, art house pick.
Yes, that's right. And just a small limited release of over 4,000 screens.
Yeah, I think that's just to get Oscar contention.
That's true, yep.
Yeah.
I don't know, Frank, you maybe don't want to put that movie down too much. That's the one they might vote about.
Nope, I know. I'm not putting it down at all. Did you see me? I was smiling. I did not at any time say I was not excited about The Star, which is coming out from Sony Columbia Pictures, 3,000 screens. And then we also have Wonder, Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson, coming in at from Lionsgate in over 3,000 screens as well.
That movie looks interesting, but I don't know if it's one I want to rush to the theaters to see.
True, but I think I'd like to check it out.
Looks like it has heart. Like, it's one that's like, okay, it's going to be a nice emotional journey movie.
I feel like, I don't know, with Owen Wilson, sometimes I actually enjoy him more in kind of a drama with comedic undertones as opposed to a straight-out comedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because there's the one with him and Ed Helms where they're searching for their birth father.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That trailer looks so bad.
I just don't. Yeah, I was like, when Owen Wilson's in that mode, I don't know.
Ugh.
Neil's on board for that movie.
I think. Well, no, that's.
The trailer just looks painful.
That's going after the comedy that he was able to muster together with Wedding Crashers.
Yes.
With Vince Vaughn.
See, which that was funny.
That was a decent comedy, I think it was a good pick for that part too. But I feel like the one where he's looking for his dad with Ed Helms looks like it's trying to be that kind of humor.
Shanghai Noon, that was also hilarious.
Man. Yeah, it was.
And even Shanghai Nights was good.
No, it wasn't.
But yeah, like Donnie Yen was not used to his full potential there in Shanghai Nights.
He hardly is used to his mm-hmm. full potential in Western cinema.
Oof, it's very disappointing. He was not used to his full potential in Rogue One.
No, he was not.
No, I'm one with the Force.
He was good at what he did.
Yes, that's
true. But they didn't give him enough to do to be used to his full potential.
Too long, I don't remember.
So, before we do our box office bet, feel free to start chumming away in the chat about which of those three films that you'd like us to bet on. We will do a little box office rewind about somebody that is going to be in one of these upcoming films. And because, you know, Superman's my main man, figure why don't we take a look at Henry Cavill? Because we've certainly been getting a lot of looks at him in all the pre-release hype for Justice League.
And he's like, lots.
Which
one? The ring.
I'm all...
So this is, of course, Henry Cavill's non-superhero-related top five films.
Right.
Coming in at number five for him, Tristan and Isolde?
Isolde.
Isolde. Isolde. See, that's how dialed in I'm into this.
It's pronounced like I-Z, like Isolde.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, it's a romance.
Uh-oh.
It's the story that led to Romeo and Juliet.
Well, because I'm dead inside. I don't see
it. Oh, I never got to it.
It was all right.
It's one of those I was like, no.
Thanks. Came out in 2006, made $6.5 million. Then we have Stardust from Paramount Pictures back in 2007.
Yes.
That was the one based on the Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, that was really cool. It's very weird.
Matthew Vaughn directed that too.
But it's good.
Right?
It's very bizarre.
Gaiman's
really good.
Very bizarre.
They made one?
The author, Neil Gaiman.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. But I remember like Stardust it just has some weird stuff in it, but it's still really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then I do not remember him in this film. I'd have to go back and watch it. The Count of Monte Cristo from Disney back in 2002.
I don't remember him either.
I think I remember I like that one a lot.
Because that was Jim Caviezel. That was his jam. But I don't remember who Henry Cavill was in that movie.
I couldn't tell you. I just remember, weirdly remember from Count of Monte Cristo some scene where they're getting some of the buried treasure in, like, a beautiful islands area. And I was like, I want to go there.
Yeah, all right.
Just random little tidbit that I remembered. But, yeah, just...
Coming in at number two, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes.
Came out in 2015 from Warner Brothers, $13.4 million.
That was very fun.
Had not seen I've seen, like, the first few minutes of it on cable. But I do enjoy Guy Ritchie for those types of films.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I still don't know how I feel about Armie Hammer. I feel like...
I like Armie Hammer, and he was good. I thought he was good in U.N.C.L.E.
But
Which one was he in Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
He was the Russian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you feel that same way about Lone Ranger? Because that film disappoints me tremendously in that. But that whole movie was disappointing.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though, with Man from U.N.C.L.E.? Everybody, what country they're playing, they're actually not from that. So they had the British guy playing American, and then, like, where is he?
I don't know where Armie Hammer's from.
But then he's playing Russian. Yeah. Is he American? Then he's American playing Russian. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then I'm blanking on the girl's name. I think she played also not what she is as well. But just kind of funny. Like, nobody actually played from where they're. But anyway.
I liked him in Free Fire. Have you guys heard that? Seen that before?
No.
Free Fire. So it was like a small little picture came out this year with who's playing Miss Marvel? That one chick,
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson, yeah, and also Murphy Killian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great film. You guys should watch
it. Cool. Eric Z in the chat says Brits are better actors. In some cases, I would agree. A lot of them have a lot more theater training, and so they're a bit more dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
Benny Hill, one of the best.
One of the best.
I was going to go with Gary Oldman. If you go look at over on Popcorn Talk, we have Darkest Hour red carpet footage, which yours truly did some interviews over. Actually, I did it for AfterBuzz. Amy did it for Popcorn Talk, as well as we had a couple other hosts. So go watch those, Darkest Hour on AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk. I got to talk to Gary Oldman.
I'm excited to see that movie. I'm always a sucker for a good Winston Churchill story.
It's going
to
be cool. You should watch my question. I asked him how he would make his role different than previous other ones.
Oh. And
I won't tell you his answer. You got to go watch it.
We got to go watch it. Look at that. Just a bait and switch there. You get us all hyped up, and then we got to go watch it ourselves.
Yep.
Coming in number one, though, for Henry Cavill's non-Superman related films, Immortals from Relativity back in 2011, $32.2 million.
I think I like that one. I didn't love it, but it was cool.
Yeah.
But that's Frida?
I don't remember it.
That's the one, like, he is with the gods.
Yeah,
yes,
cool.
And he had to go through, like, the Minotaur maze and stuff. Yeah.
It had a 300 visual style and just cool. Nothing like, Kellen, oh my gosh, Lutz, I need to buy it, but it was visually very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
It kind of was one of those where you just kind of watch it and you're like, all right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was Henry Cavill's super cool top five non-Superman-related films. The one thing I have heard is that him here in Justice League, he's a Superman you can get behind. He's happy. He's excited. He smiles a lot. He's having fun being Superman. So if that's the case, I am super on board for that. A Superman that is actually enjoying what he does would be a welcome change.
Would be new.
Yes, absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we do our box office bet, we've got to do our top five for next week.
Mm.
So, of course, we've got Justice League, The Star, and Wonder entering our top five. Do we see anything possibly stopping Justice League from being number one?
No.
I think a lot of people, like I said, got to get out of curiosity. Like, maybe it'll be 50-50. Some people are super excited. Other people are just like, we'll see how it is.
The Punisher will stop.
Netflix. They're like, man, we'll be at Netflix.
Everyone's just
going to
be catch potatoing for John Bernthal's Punisher. I can see that happening.
Well, Ken Jack already suggested a top five. Justice League, then Thor, Daddy's Home, Murder on the Orient Express, and Wonder. Okay. Zias agrees. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I could disagree with that. I think even with Murder on the Orient Express maybe even losing half, mm-hmm. I feel like Wonder might be a good film, but I don't think it's going to be a huge blowout in the box office. So I could see it coming in at...
A five?
Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't feel like Bad Moms Christmas right now at 11.5 is going to stick around. I think... If you lose it by half, I still think Wonder could beat that.
I like that. I think Star Drew, you're just favoring it because you have Star in your username. Of Star might beat out Daddy's Home, but
I think
Teresa
could.
Says staying home for Punisher.
You think Bad Mom's Christmas could beat out Wonder?
No.
I think the Star can beat.
Family friendly movie. How many family friendly movies are out right now?
Daddy's Home 2.
Yeah. Full family friendly?
Yeah.
Is it PG?
Yeah. Kids and stuff, and they're running around.
Okay. There's not many animated ones then, because that's the other thing with Star is it's animated, so that might be a draw.
Maybe, but I just feel like I haven't seen like a lot of stuff about the Star.
No, I don't feel there's been a lot of ads for it.
No, me neither. But I'm also trying to think of like the Bible Belt, Middle America.
Yep.
They're all gonna wanna
going
go
into
see
that holiday season, sure. Telling you it's like. Mm-hmm.
Before
so
they,
I don't think it's going to go crazy. I think it probably
maybe
best,
it might be five or six.
Probably at best it could get to number four, but I think it's going to land at number five.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'd want to go over that to Justice League? I feel like everybody would want to see superheroes before they see.
Depends how young
animals.
The kids are.
Yeah,
because Star would be like rated G friendly compared to like Justice League. If they have like depends on the parents, you know.
All right. So I guess it could be a toss-up. Some of us think that Star could be number five. Some of us think that it could be Wonder.
I mean, if Bad Moms does, what, like 50% less this coming week, then
I feel Bad
Star
Moms.
Just needs to make like 7 or 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
6.6.
So you think it could do more than Wonder would?
I think it can.
Oh, interesting.
I think it can.
All right, so you're going with everything there except for Star being number five.
Yeah.
Okay.
That works for me.
Carrie, you agree with that, or are you going to go with Wonder?
I think I'm gonna go with Wonder because that's 3,000 plus screens.
I'm gonna go with Wonder too, only because I feel like I've seen more hype for that.
I feel more ads for that.
So I feel like it's more dialed in. But you're right. I mean, I can't discount what you're saying about kind of like the Bible battery either too.
Yeah.
I don't know how that'll show up.
Courtney says Justice League, Thor, Daddy's Home, Murder. And Wonder. So that's pretty much what we're all kind of saying, too. Yep. Eric points out Justice League will be definitely more family-friendly than Batman vs. Superman, and it's only 2 hours long.
Yeah, and that was by the insistence of head of Warner Brothers. It's got to be 2 hours. That's it. No more. So got to get those max, pushing those maximum amount of run times.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're ready for our box office bet.
Yep. So, what are our numbers?
While we're waiting Telling for that, up. Just in case, hopefully, fingers crossed, Justice League gets it. Well, don't you want to see us like do something like really shoot for the moon numbers?
So
but,
Ken Jack just reported it in. The Star won the bet. 5 for the Star, 1 for Wonder, and 1 for Justice League.
See, you're bad.
How are you feeling, Frank?
I'm not feeling good. Why? Why, people? Why?
You know,
come on.
It's full of trolls.
Oh, man.
They like making you suffer, man.
God,
they do. They're like, mwah.
This is unfortunate. Mm. All right.
I personally think it'd be more fun to go balls to the wall and try and pick our bets for Justice League.
As a little side action.
Let's do that.
All right. Quick side note for Batman of Steel and Batman versus Superman. They did $116 and $166 million, respectively, mm-hmm. when those opened. So... we've got those, so we'll do our official bet will be on the Star.
What was Thor's opening weekend? 130.
I think it was 130.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But we'll do a little just side action just for fun about
Justice League. Are we doing Justice League bet right now?
Yeah, okay. We quick Justice League.
Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Jay says 121. Okay. Ken Jack says 130.
I could see the 130. I could see that too. I think it'll do better than Batman versus Superman. Just because it's definitely riding off the momentum of Wonder Woman.
Well, Batman versus Superman was 166.
I mean, so better than Man of Steel.
That's Batman versus Superman was kind of an anomaly. It also
Tanya says 120. Eric's it also 145. Lost like
70% of that in Nicholas a decline from week one to week two
because it was a bad movie.
Teresa 117, Zayas 140.
I'm gonna go 130. I feel like it's. Okay. I think there's enough Wonder Woman love.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be as bad as. Suicide Squad.
Oh, dear, no.
No. Actually, first impressions I've heard from some of my friends who've been to screenings already for the Justice League, they say it's really good. They like it.
Okay.
I'll be the judge of that, Neil.
We should all be the judge of that.
Thunder God says 142. Okay.
Anybody else? I'm going with 130. Anybody else?
I think 145.
Oh, wait, we're not hiding. Okay, I said, wait, what'd you say?
145.
I said 125.
Okay.
So I'll go on the low end.
All right.
Okay.
Now, sadly, to the
four
official.
Star, which... Technically, on ours, it's not five.
Yep.
But maybe.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. You're like, I'm scared.
I just really. I've seen a movie I didn't need to see. I don't want to see. No.
You think this might.
Ken Jack says
Boo
12.
Too, Medea's Halloween.
All right, guys. What are your thoughts on what star we'll make?
Ken Jack says 12.
Teresa says 13.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, we figured if it was coming in at number five, and we're
Star Drew says, "What's in between?" Nicholas says 35. That's a little
for star
on the ambitious side. Tanya says 10.5. Zaya says 10.
Star gave us two again.
No, you got to pick a number in the middle. My brain's too tired to pick a number in the middle. Courtney says 12. Ren says 8.
Get the average star.
Oh, that's 19.
Add them together.
Wait, was that a 19?
Divide them by 2.
Star.
If you figure Murder on the Orient Express, that made 28 this past week, 28.2. So that's putting it at 14.1. If it's just a straight 50% drop.
Okay.
And we're putting that at number four.
At what? How much?
That's at number four. That's what we all agree to be at number four. It'd be 14.1 if it just 14? Went 50%. So.
Okay. But if anything's the 11, 12, or 13, that still could be fifth.
Because
we have seen some be very close before.
Well, then let's.
I already made my bet.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the chat, I had the same thing, so.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll see.
Oh, man.
Zayas points out never heard of Star till us, so. All right. Star Drew says 21.
What? Star Drew, seriously?
No, you picked two. Yeah, you picked new numbers. I went in the middle.
But 21 is his middle?
Well, he said 20 and 22, so yeah.
Oh, what? Even both of those.
Okay,
that's
we got
to
wrap because we got Star Trek next.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Speaking of Star, so after this, guys, tune in because Frank and I will be over on AfterBuzz talking about Star Trek Discovery.
Man. All right.
Discover a new world.
Okay. All right, everybody got their bet? Of course, everybody, caveat by the box office bet. Whoever's closest gets a prognosticators. Loser's got to go see the movie. Please don't let it be me. Let's reveal our bets.
All right,
ready? Yes.
12.
6.5.
Ooh. Oh.
10. Thank God. Thank you. Thank you. I am in the middle. Oh. Yes. That's all. All right.
All right, cool. We got our numbers.
That's all I can
Great,
be happy
guys,
about.
Thank you.
All right. Oh,
you feel good, Frank.
I feel.
He feels much,
so much
better.
Yes. Ooh. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this box office bet. Oh, and the breakdown.
And the whole show.
The whole show. That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so excited. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for picking the star for us to bet on. Oh, man, you guys are the best. As always, folks, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And while you're there, throw in a bunch of thumbs. Do it. Thumbs it up. And if you're watching this even after the show's aired, you can comment down below. Carrie Lane loves to ask a question to the audience. Carrie Lane, what would you like them to comment
on? Okay, since we are going to holiday season, what is your favorite? We already did Halloween movie, so what's your favorite? We're not going to forget this holiday. What's your favorite Thanksgiving movie? This holiday exists. Everyone seems to skip over it.
Gobble, gobble,
favorite
folks.
Thanksgiving movie.
All right, look at that. And folks, thanks so much for joining us in the chat. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do the show without you. We couldn't make these bets without you. We couldn't do it. But if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show is over, Neil, where can they find you?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, the Neil Plumley. You can find me at places where people are found at my name, which is the Neil Plumley, T-H-E-N-E-I-L-P-L-U-M-L-E-Y. I had a lot of fun talking to you guys. Come back next week.
Yes. Thank you for watching, everybody, and chiming in the chat. A lot of fun. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And right after this is Star Trek Discovery after show. And then on Monday is Marvel TV news. And very, very soon is going to be Vikings. And don't forget, on Tuesdays is horror movie news.
Wow. Carrie Lane's got a full plate of programming. People love to see her. People do not love to see me. Unfortunately, you have to endure me. That is
That's not true.
That's, no, trust me. I read the emails.
Lies.
That's
lies.
Not very, very true. Yep, that's very true.
Okay, sign off.
But send all your hate mail and tweets and things to me on social media at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, we'll be back here next Sunday night, where at least we will reveal that I will not have to go see the star. So I do not care what happens other than that. But until then, have a great time. Go see the Justice League, because we're going to be breaking that all down next week. Have some fun, see some movies, eat some popcorn. We love you.
See ya.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.